Christy snapped out of her fuzzy haze into a hyper-consciousness where pure instinct took over. She was still moving forward, but now everything was clearer than it had been. Her instinct switched on to alert her to the slightest move. Looking ahead, she could see that she had almost arrived at the end of the pipe maze and was now within sight of the giant storage tanks. Her heightened senses also identified the only sounds other than her own, Doc. She relaxed slightly as she realized that they had both arrived at their destination simultaneously. There was a point ahead where they would both emerge into view, a point where the pipes finally began to feed into the tanks. She slowed and noticed that Doc's pace had also slowed.
Doc, it's me. I haven't found a damn thing.
I know it is you, dear lady. I would recognize that most delicate of steps anywhere. I fear that I have also found nothing. Could it be that the site truly has been deserted, and we're not going to strike lucky with a saboteur?
Christy replied with a smile as they came into view of each other.
That's a funny way of looking at things, wanting to find trouble. Though I guess if we did find someone messing with the site, we could get a whole lot of answers out of them.
It would simplify our task somewhat. But sometimes things don't run as smoothly as...
He was cut off by the sound of voices and blaster fire. Without even looking at each other, both he and Christy immediately set off to assist Ryan, who evidently had stumbled on something. Ryan had been making similar progress to that of his companions. He jogged out to a point where the single pipeline from the oil well hit a series of wheels and junctions that carried the raw product off to the refinery buildings and then ferried it back before diverting it to the tanks. The knot of pipes, some piled four stories high with heavy metal brackets between, was a denser maze than the points he had sent his two companions to wreck, but Ryan felt that as leader, he had to take the most difficult tasks. Otherwise, what right had he to call himself leader and make decisions for others? Although his upbringing in Front Royal had ended in deceit and treachery, his father, Baron Titus, had instilled certain ideas of what a leader should be, lessons that Titus's son carried with him always. Although sometimes you could regret such ideas, such as now, when you were jogging across open ground toward an area where someone in concealment could pick you off as easily as shooting crows. But this was a fortunate day for Ryan Carter as he reached his destination safely. Squinting down the single pipeline to the well, he could see no sign of any activity or habitation, so anything that was going on would be within the knot of pipes that now stood to his left. The one-eyed warrior didn't hesitate before plunging into the morass of metalwork, taking it in with a single glance. Although it was a complex maze, there was little room within to maneuver, so it would be difficult for any enemy to conceal himself. But there was still that chance. Ryan soon found the conditions as troublesome as Doc and Christy had. The reflected heat and the dust made his head pound, forcing him to concentrate even harder, which in turn made his head begin to ache even more. But he grimly set his jaw, ignoring the salt sting of sweat that ran into his one clear blue eye, trickling beneath the patch, tracing the line of his scar, and settling in the empty socket. It was because he could be so focused that he heard the slightest of movements to the left of him, about 10 yards ahead. A shuffle of breath, a shuffle of foot. It was enough for him to seek a cover position. In the maze of twisted pipes, there was little to be found, but he had just turned a corner, and a quick step back took him to the cusp of the turn, allowing him a slight angle in which to seek cover.
I got you! Get into view with your blaster butt first, and I won't rip you to shit.
Big words when I've got the cover!
Then the owner of the voice said something in a language that Ryan couldn't understand. He had a feeling that it was something Christy and Mildred had spoken about after their Matrans jump to what remained of the United Kingdom. A language called Gaelic. But it was impossible to think. This had run through the one-eyed man's head in the space of a few moments, during which time and leveled it, aiming at the man's head. While the stoop stood in full view, trying to sight the partially concealed Ryan for another shot, Ryan squeezed the trigger, loosing a 9mm shell from the P226, the blast muffled through the built-in baffle silencer. There was a sudden silence, the muffled blast fading quickly as the bullet hit home. The man stood for a moment, an expression of surprise crossing his face, and then fixing there as life drained from him. The blaster dropped from nerveless fingers, followed shortly after by the crumbling figure of the blaster's owner. Ryan holstered his Sig Sauer and sheathed the Panga before stepping from cover and taking the few strides covering the short distance to the corpse. One thing for sure, the man was no fighter. Kneeling in front of the corpse, Ryan checked for any other weapons or any Plasex or Grens. There was nothing that could suggest that this man was a saboteur. Ryan moved away from the chilled body and checked the area where the man had been hiding. Again, there was no sign of anything that could remotely have been used to damage the pipeline. Adding this to what the man had said, Ryan could only assume that he had been taken for a saboteur himself. He was still checking the area when Christy and Doc arrived. He explained to them what had occurred, and was in the middle of this explanation when the others arrived. He briefly filled them in.
The Molly Maguires.
J.B. scratched his head beneath his fedora.
The who?
It was something I remember from history lessons. The Gaelic Ryan mentioned triggered off a memory. It dates back to the end of the 19th, turn of the 20th century. A group of migrant workers from Ireland originally, only I think it was coal rather than oil, maybe near Kansas. Anyway, they formed themselves into a secret society called the Molly Maguires and set to a campaign of sabotage where they were working. It was designed to win them better working conditions, better pay. Maybe that's what's happening here. We should ask Baron Silas if he ups the jack bonuses every time there's trouble and the work falls behind schedule.
Ask me now.
The Baron and his sec man came up to where the companions were gathered.
I see you got one of the bastards.
He pushed through and prodded the chilled corpse with the toe of his boot.
From the look of him, I'd say it was one of Savine's people, from Mandrake. They dress that way.
He gestured at the vest and open undershirt the man wore, along with his heavily patched denims, thick leather belt, and heavy boots.
So they're behind it, eh?
Don't jump to any conclusions. You heard what I was saying, right? Well, the Maguires used sabotage to up their pay and conditions, and maybe an equivalent group is doing this to up their bonuses. But maybe it's really just an Innerville fight that spilled over onto your well. Just because the Maguires were Irish and this man spoke Gaelic, I'm guessing that Mandrake has a heavy Irish-descended population. Well, just because of that, it doesn't mean to say that the Mandrake people are behind the sabotage. After all, Ryan found no evidence.
Mildred's right. This man had no Plasex or Grens on him, and there's none hereabouts. From what he said to me, he thought I was the one who was going to plant them. So I reckon this poor stoop was trying to stop any sabotage, but wouldn't calm down enough to listen to me. It's not going to be that simple.
Silas Hunter fixed Ryan with a steely glare.
It better be somewhat simple, or else you may find that you don't get your easy passage out. Remember why I hired you.
He turned on his heel and stormed off toward the wag, followed by his sec guard.
Touchy, is he not?
Guess you'd be if you had a whole heap of barons on your back and a big project like this that was screwing up on you.
That is a fair point.
Doc turned to face the camp, where the oily plumes of black smoke had decreased in intensity.
It looks as though whatever happened back there is under control. So perhaps our friendly baron may wish to show us the forces he...